All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball. Kerry Crowley, Marty Leary, Bill Lasky, as we get you to the first pitch, 105, the Washington Nationals against the San Francisco Giants, second game of the three-game series. Joining us this morning is the Director of Player Development of the Minor Leagues. Let's bring in Kyle Haynes. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again. Great to hear you guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. You know, the All-Star break's coming up for the major leagues, but the minor leagues don't have an All-Star break. But what they do have this year, which is kind of different, is they have one day off during the week, and it's mostly because of scheduling. How did you feel about that? And I know a lot of the teams love it.
Yeah, it's been a blessing. I think coming off the year in which we didn't play helps a lot, too, because it kind of helps guys manage their workloads after a year of not playing, but also just it got where we were just playing way too much in a row. The minor leagues, I mean, there was a spot in the Northwest League or the old Northwest League where, you know, we were playing like 52 games in 53 days, and it was like our youngest kids. So that was crushing them. And, you know, it just didn't make sense. So adjustments needed to be made. And I think the one day off a week has been a nice refresher for everybody.
Well, when you look at AAA, AA, high A ball, low A ball, give us a breakdown on how you feel each division and how these players are playing, as well as how the managers are doing.
Yeah, no, I think each team had a lot of different development successes. I think if you start in Sacramento, I think the obvious one is they've done an amazing job at helping plug, you know, the holes on the major league roster. And, you know, as guys, very important pieces to that major league team get hurt, there just seems to always be a new person who's ready to step in from AAA. And, you know, maybe while the wins and losses in Sacramento isn't what it was in 2019 when they won the AAA National Championship, from a production standpoint, as far as helping the major league team, I'd put what our AAA team's done for our major league team up with anybody's. We've just constantly seen guys come up ready to go and step right in and become key parts of the team. And I don't even need to list those. Everybody's kind of familiar with those names by now. So there's a lot of success there by that, you know, AAA development, so to speak. Maybe not in the wins and losses, but from producing help in the major leagues. Richmond, they're holding on. Our good friend Jose Aguasil is managing there. Very familiar face to a lot of Giants fans. He's managing a lot of our prospects there in Richmond. Elliot Ramos has been streaky, but he's coming on strong. He'll hit homers in the last two games, and we're excited that he's going through his ups and downs well there. He's handling it well. We've seen some guys trickle up there. Will Wilson's now playing shortstop there. Diego Rincon is. Caleb Killian has pitched really well there. R.J. Davidovich in his first full season is already there pitching big moments at the back of the bullpen. Jose Marte's been dominant in the back end. So a lot of good development successes that started out at the A-ball level and now trickled into that Richmond club. Eugene and San Jose both been fantastic, and the obvious one being San Jose is one of the best, maybe further league, maybe the best team in all minor league baseball when you consider the age appropriation of all the players at the level and what they're doing.
Well, Kyle, the Futures game's going to happen Sunday, and, of course, Luciano and Ramos are both playing in it. Ramos' third time going to the game. When you watch this game, do you look for other talent that's there? Do you kind of watch your two players play? And it's exciting, and especially in Colorado.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll self-admit, I just watch our guys. So, you know, these other guys, you look for someone that stands out, but you've kind of seen those guys throughout the year, and you're a little more familiar with their names. And, you know, I'm just excited for Ramos and Luciano to get that experience in. Whether they play good in the game or not is almost irrelevant to me. I'm just happy that they're rewarded for what they've done and for their potential, and that they get to take in the All-Star game weekend as a minor league player. And hopefully this experience, you know, preludes them being a major league All-Star and playing in the game itself one day and not the Futures game. And it's hard to believe Ramos has been there three times. He's only 21 years old. So
yeah.
He's a veteran, and he's still younger than some of the guys playing in the game.
I want to bring Marty in here on just about the Futures game and a couple questions he has. Marty, what do you think about the Futures game, Marty? I never really did ask you about it.
Yeah, I love it. I've seen it a few times. I remember when Matt Cain was in it, and I think Lincecum. And I just think it's terrific. You know, as Eno Saris said, the pitchers will throw one inning and throw 105 in that one inning just to, you know, to show off. And if you can get a hitter that can turn it around, you'd like to see it. So I like it. I do. Kyle, how are you?
I'm doing good, Marty. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, it's nice. I appreciate it. You know, and watching the minor leagues and all the numbers, and as I joke on the show, it looks like every guy's a Hall of Famer. You know, every time you turn around, it's home runs, triples, great pitching performances. But we haven't seen a lot of movement on some of the familiar names. You've moved a lot of people up and down, but none of the big names yet from San Jose. Eugene, yes, Will Wilson went up. But what about the Matoses and people like that? Any movement coming with those guys?
No, we have moved a few. You know, you mentioned a few there. We did end up moving the catcher from San Jose, Ricardo Genovese, who's already had some low-A experience already once. So we moved him, and he was in Major League spring training this past spring. So there's been a few pieces that have moved for sure. But, you know, as far as those top guys that you mentioned, the Lucianos, the Matoses, the Ramoses, we're just making sure that their development takes place and we don't rush them through. You know, sometimes the minor leagues can be viewed as a showcase circuit and not a development circuit. And, you know, it's not going to be one of those things where if you showcase at a high level for a short period that you just automatically move up. And we're going to make people, you know, continue their development at their level. And, you know, when it comes to Luciano and Matos, I'll be on the record. Obviously, we might change our mind in a month or so, but, you know, I anticipate Luciano and Matos being in San Jose all year. And they're doing a great job at developing there. They're getting better each and every day. I think everybody's excited about how much better they've gotten over the course of the first couple months. And we just want to make sure that the development continues. And ultimately, when they're ready to move a level, we'll evaluate at that time. But ultimately, the goal is to make sure they're major league ready, not high ready or double ready.
Whenever we talk about pitching, we love to talk about Sean Jelly. And I think he got a hit the other day, and then but he got banged up a little bit earlier. But what about Sean Jelly? Movement coming with him?
No, I don't anticipate that right now. Don't want to close the door on that. He had the lower back tightness that you know, gave us a little bit of a scare. Luckily, he was able to shake that. You know, it's he's doing great. And, you know, the other thing is, I don't know if really AAA pitching needs to be in AAA very long anyway. So it's not like, I think Logan Webb was a good example of that a few years ago, where he'd actually spent most of his development time in San Jose and in Richmond, and then just made a brief appearance in AAA. And then the ability to be big league ready. You know, it seems like pitchers don't really need to sit in AAA that long to finish their development step. And, you know, I think whether it's Jelly or Killian, some of these other starters, they don't need to necessarily appear for a full season in AAA before they're even big league ready. So obviously evaluate those individually. But Sean's doing great. And he's given us a lot better quality at bats than I envisioned him giving us in AA. So.
It's a tough hitter. He's got a big strike zone. I will say that about him. But what about the kid from De La Salle, the left-hander?
Oh, Kyle Harrison. He's been fantastic. He's so advanced. Sometimes I wonder. He acts like a college-age kid that we signed, not the high school-age kid. He's so mature for his age. He never gets too high or too low. And you know, on the mound, his stuff rivals anybody we got from the left side. And has a chance to be a very special pitcher. Occasionally, right now, he overthrows at times and has a few more walks than ideal, but at the same time, he's commanded the ball, and he's been at times as dominant as any pitcher in that entire league and as dominant as any pitcher we have. So really excited about Kyle and his growth, and I know he's learning a lot each and every day there in San Jose, and the fans there in San Jose have seen Kyle grow for the first couple months as well.
The draft
Director of Player Development Kyle Haynes joining us this morning on Inside Talking Baseball. Will Toffey got traded over from the Mets to the Giants. Now he is in Sacramento. Can you give us a little scouting report on Will?
Yeah, he was kind of having a down year with the Mets, I think, by all accounts, compared to what his norms were. We got a lot of guys very familiar with him from his A's days. He was traded originally from the A's to the Mets, a part of a major league trade there. He can play almost any position on the field, very versatile, has shown a good history of having good at-bats. You know, he's from Vanderbilt, was, I believe, some type friends with Mike Yastrzemski to some degree. And so Yaz is familiar with Will Toffey. And, he had really good plate discipline and a great year at Vanderbilt. He showed that in the minor leagues. This year he was kind of having a slumping year, and really it was probably just Farhan would have to speak on it and Scott, but felt like a great buy low opportunity on someone who can play a lot of positions and give you good at bats. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. So we'll give him an opportunity to show us what he's got, and then we'll see where it goes from there. It's just kind of a you know, off the radar move to take a chance on someone who's showed some good qualities in the past to work with.
Kyle, what about all these experimental rules? How are they working out? Give me an example of low A, what's going on right up to AAA.
Well, that's a great question. You know, I'd love to hear some fans on the San Jose topic, you know, who go to the San Jose games. The pickoff limitation is really odd. I haven't quite gotten used to that one yet, but the pitch timer there, I've actually grown to really like it. You can see the pitchers making a conscious effort to not walk around the mound and, you know, kind of drag out the dead space there and the dead air. And you're able to just kind of, you know, just see more baseball action. You see the ball being thrown and hit and stuff a little more just because of the pitch clock spin. I think that's been positive. High, they had the step-off rule. I'm not a fan of that one personally. It's you got to step off to throw to a base, and that one doesn't seem to be working all that great. Significant disadvantage for left-handed pitchers, if you ask me. And I don't think that one's going to go anywhere. Hopefully not. In Double A, there's been limits on number of players on the shift or in the outfield. I kind of like that one. Kind of gives you the casual fan, much more of a view of the game they grew up with, and you know, kind of puts limits. I mean, basketball has illegal defense, and even, you know, football has illegal formations. So I don't know why baseball is always just let us put wherever we want out there on the field. So maybe that one will grow. AAA is going to have the bigger base in the second half. They did not have it the first half. The second half of the season, they're going to put a little bit bigger base. It's only a few inches bigger. So I don't really know if that's going to be that much relevant. But it's also non-slick, like slippery and made of a different material. So maybe that will end up being a positive in the long run.
What about the computer ump?
Ooh. We haven't seen that one personally. That's been in the only in the league that is in Florida. I haven't seen that one personally other than that small Arizona Fall League experience, but it feels like it's coming. I don't know. That's my opinion. I don't know if it is, but it feels like it's coming, and I got mixed reviews on it. I personally love humans being involved in the game, and, you know, a good Earl Weaver blow up of the umpire always seemed to put some energy into a dead game. So, you know, maybe the automated everything maybe wouldn't be good for the entertainment value of baseball, if you ask me.
Hey, Kyle, two pitchers that I've really been able to watch a little bit more and they've kind of been under the weather is Caleb Killian and Joey Marciano from Double-A. Both these guys have been just dialed in all year. Your thoughts on both these guys, and is there going to be an advancement possibly the second half?
No, I mean, on the advancement part, not on the radar at this time, but I'll tell you this, Bill. Killian is a little more known, but since you know Marciano, I know you've done your homework here, because Marciano is a guy who's been around a while, and this year he really took a huge step forward. So that's a great great call on your part, bringing his name up, because he's been a left-hander who's high character kid, and he really just jumped in velo up to 97 from the left side. Off speed's getting better daily. And he was always a strike thrower as a starter. Now he's transitioned to a reliever and kind of developed some more of a power arsenal. So interesting development there from Joe Marciano, and huge credit to him and his work ethic by, you know, making himself into an even better player as he gets into his mid to late 20s here. So really excited about Joe. Is a promotion of AAA imminent? Not right now, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him in AAA by the end of the year.
So the draft is tomorrow night. Are you a college guy, a high school guy, best athlete guy? What does this organization need? If you could say, okay, we're going to pick this position, where would you go?
Ooh, you know, I think all the above. I think the good players come from every angle. Small college, big college, small high school, big high school, position player, pitcher. I mean, stars just come in so many molds, it feels like. Mike Trout come from, you know, some small school in New Jersey, and then you have some come from, you know, the standard Stanford or UCLA. But personally, I want a pitcher who throws strikes and hitters who swing at quality strikes. So wherever that comes from, I'm a supporter of that. But I think it's fair to say that, I think our position player depth keeps getting better. And I'd say that, it would be nice to see some good pitching influx into the organization.
Kyle, are you a big part of that when they go into the draft room? Are you looking at things too, or is that a whole different division in scouting?
I'm in the room. I'm just a fly on the wall, and I'm there to support Michael Holmes and his scouts who work hard all year. But ultimately, I don't have much input. I just sit there and wait for a question to ask about what we would do in player development with a specific player, or what our thoughts are in player development and how that aligns with their thoughts. My full trust is in Michael Holmes and his staff. They're going to pick us great players. And I just love and feel privileged to be a fly on the wall and listen to them and hear their passion for their players that they've scouted all year. And, when they have a player development question about a specific player or a specific scenario, I'm there to happy to help them. But other than that, I just, I have all the respect and trust in the world that they're going to do with their job, and they don't need me involved.
Well, like I said in Hamilton, I'm going to say this, Bill. Like I said in the play Hamilton, you want to be in the room where it happens. And
that's right.
It's going to happen tomorrow night. It's exciting. All right, Bill, you could wrap it up. Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, I just want to thank Kyle for your time, and great stuff as usual, and we'll definitely be checking with you as the season progresses. But good luck tomorrow. All Giant Eyes will be watching the draft room and seeing what you guys are going to select, so it'll be interesting.
Awesome. Well, great talking with you guys, and looking forward to seeing you in person someday and catching up more in person.
Excellent. Okay, thanks,
see
Kyle.
You, Kyle.
All right, coming up, Kerry Crowley as we talk more baseball with Marty and myself coming up next on KNBR, the sports leader.